When considering the question of whether mitzvot are supposed to be performed standing or sitting, the question has an unusual point of departure, and that is Sfirat HaOmer. It's unusual that the whole discussion of standing or sitting for mitzvot has as its point of departure a mitzvah that we don't really think about as a paradigmatic mitzvah of all of the mitzvot. Yet, as we'll see, the various authorities generally are of the view that any concept of standing by mitzvot appears by Sfirat HaOmer first. Most of the Rishonim are of the view that one stands while counting the Omer. To name but a small number, the Rambam, the Rush, and the Machzor Vitri, a student of Rashi's from France, the Rush, who lived in Germany and later Spain, the Rambam, a Sephardic Jew who lived in Egypt, all are of the view that Sfirat HaOmer is performed standing. And that is the practice that we tell people today, that when you do the bracha and the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer, you should be standing for the mitzvah. Why does one stand for Sfirat HaOmer? So the Rush writes that we do the mitzvah standing. The Tanur Rabban and the rabbis taught. It says by Sfirat HaOmer, Bikama. The Torah in Parshat Re'eh says that Sfirat HaOmer begins when the sickle hits the kama, the standing grain. Al tikri bekama, you shouldn't punctuate the verse when the sickle hits the standing grain, comma, you should count. Ella bekuma, you should read the verse when the sickle hits the stand, when the sickle hits, comma, standing, you should count. On the face of it, the Rush is problematic for a number of reasons. It's firstly problematic because it involves some very creative punctuation of the verse to reach the outcome that one should count standing. The simple punctuation of the verse and the way we read it when the Torah is read is that the adverbs, the adjective standing, is describing the grain, not describing the person doing the mitzvah. The Rush also quotes this as Tanur Rabbanan as if he's quoting it from a Braisa, but as the Ahurim point out, this teaching does not appear anywhere in the Talmud. And it's not the sort of thing that we would have made up on our own that this is what the verse is teaching us. So even counting by Sfirat HaOmer, we could be somewhat skeptical of the Rush based on the Rush's proof text. And nonetheless, the practice is to stand for Sfirat HaOmer. And again, part of the reason for that is that most of the Rishonim followed this view. So even if you don't like the proof text, it still is a good reason to count standing. Many alternative reasons are given why we stand while counting the Omer for those who don't like the Rush's derivation. Some say that this is a tradition. The commentaries on the Rambam quote that the Ritz Geot says this is a tradition, ostensibly going back to the Gaonim. And the verse is only an asmachta, it's only a hint, but it's not like the Talmud derives this law from that piece of scripture. The Zohar gives another explanation, which is hard to understand as well, but some people stand for the reasons of the Zohar. Line, when somebody comes to count these days, ben betzlusa, ben beshvacha, the person should be standing such that the entire body is straight, the lower leg, the thigh, the entire body should be straight up. Kechada, like one. Kedukhura, like an individual, like a man who's standing in fear and awe and trepidation. And not sitting down. Begin shvacha de alma ila, that you're supposed to stand because the Sfirat HaOmer is somehow symbolizes a higher plane of a higher world, and we do that by standing and not in awe and not by sitting, which is a sign of weakness. Okay, I mean the Zohar understood Sfirat HaOmer as having these various mystical implications. I'm not sure that all the Rishonim saw the counting of the Omer in the same way. The Zohar's invocation of gender is somewhat hard to understand. But that's the second explanation why we stand for counting the Omer. The Matzer Vitri gives yet another explanation why we would can stand for the counting of the Omer and not for other mitzvos. The Matzer Vitri says that mitzvah lememne be'amida, you should stand. If we should call Masa Omer, yeshno be'amida, because the mitzvah of bringing the Omer sacrifice is standing. Of all the explanations, this one resonates the most with me. Sfirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, is actually a counting which has as its origins the Omer sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash. And like any sacrifice in the temple, we would have stood while doing the Omer. And if the counting of the Omer is an extension of the sacrifice, then we should stand to remember or reenact what took place in the temple. And indeed, the Rambam put the laws of counting the Omer in his Hilchot Midim Musafim in the temple sacrificial section of his work, Mishneh Torah. And that supports the thesis that the reason for standing has to do with the sacrificial element of the Korban Omer, that we're reminding, reenacting the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore we stand. Now, why does the reason for standing matter so much? Well, if you took the Zohar's view that we stand because of a spiritual, mystical implication of counting the Omer, then we would ostensibly limit that to the counting of the Omer and only the counting of the Omer. Other mitzvot may not have the same mystical implications. If you held like the Machzor Vitri and perhaps the Rambam that we stand while counting the Omer because we are reenacting and remembering the Beit HaMikdash, we'd again limit it to Sfirat HaOmer, maybe also Shaking of the Lulav, where we try to remember the Beit HaMikdash, but we would not extend it to other mitzvos as well. Even according to the Rush, that it's some sort of tradition hinted by the Pasuk, it would be hard to imagine extending this to other mitzvot. However, at least, if you say it's a tradition, maybe, perhaps, we would expand it to other mitzvot. When we scan the Talmud for evidence about whether we have to stand while performing mitzvot, there seems to be ample evidence that this is not a requirement in Judaism. One does not need to stand while performing mitzvot in Judaism. There's a Mishnah in Challah which says this as clear as can be. You can't say it you can't say it any clearer. The Mishnah says, "Ha'isha yoshevet." A woman can sit, the kotza chalasa, and separate challah while sitting. Remember that when preparing dough, somebody is often sitting at the table while cooking. So a woman can separate challah while sitting. And even adds that if she happens to be aruma, if she's not wearing clothing, she could still do the mitzvah. But the focal point of this Mishnah is that the Mishnah says, really without batting an eye for a moment, the Mishnah says that a woman can sit down while separating challah and ostensibly recite a bracha on the mitzvah even without having stood up, you can recite a bracha on a mitzvah. Another Talmudic teaching, which seems to indicate that mitzvah can be performed seated, when describing Sfirat HaOmer, when describing the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So we blow the shofar on multiple occasions. Now, in our synagogues, it is our custom to stand for all of the blowings of the shofar, but the Talmud calls that the Talmud refers to the blowings of the shofar, the two blowings of the shofar, as a seated blowing of the shofar and as a standing blowing of the shofar. So in Rosh Hashanah, Tetzayin Amud Aleph, we say, why do we blow shofar when we sit and also blow shofar when we stand? And that language also suggests that the blowing of the shofar could, in theory, be performed while sitting down. And here we have a second example of a mitzvah that is addressed in the Talmud, and the permission of sitting down is explicit. This does not appear, the two mitzvot do not appear in the Talmud, but it is our practice to do them seated, and it's hard to imagine that anyone would require you to stand for these mitzvot, and that is the mitzvah of eating matzah and eating maror. Again, it doesn't say anywhere in the Talmud explicitly that, you know, you sit and not stand, but we know that the Gemara discusses Haseba leaning at the Seder while eating matzah, and it really seems like you're leaning while seated. By maror, the Gemara says that you do not have to lean while eating the maror because it's a sad thing, and therefore you don't lean for it. But the very fact that you're leaning and that we think we've discussed you might lean for maror implies that these mitzvot are performed seated as well. And even more so because when it comes to challah and shofar, the Talmud gives you permission to perform these mitzvot seated, but when it comes to matzah and maror, it really looks like it's a preference. They're part of a meal, and therefore they should be performed seated. While we're at it, Birkat HaMazon is conventionally recited seated as well, and here, that's another biblical mitzvah, which one performs while seated. As we've taken an inventory of the various mitzvot in Judaism, and what the Talmud has to say about whether the mitzvot and the blessings on the mitzvot are performed seated or standing, the real force of all this evidence is that one should, in all likelihood, be there's no requirement to stand by mitzvot, and maybe this requirement to stand is limited to Sfirat HaOmer and only Sfirat HaOmer, but all of the mitzvot, we have no reason to think that they cannot be performed sitting. That there's no problem with performing them sitting down. Yet, when one reaches Shulchan Aruch, one sees that Shulchan Aruch does expand this principle beyond Sfirat HaOmer. So, when it comes to the practice of placing on one's tzitzit, Shulchan Aruch rules, Yisatev b'tzitzis me'umad, the Torah even says that one should wrap oneself in tzitzit while standing. And the commentaries explain that the reason for this is an extension from Sfirat HaOmer to tzitzit. So the Talmud didn't even say Sfirat HaOmer had to be standing, but that was a tradition, and from Sfirat HaOmer, we include that tzitzit also should be worn while standing. Now, the Ashkenazic custom is also to stand while putting on tefillin. Again, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Talmud. When I was growing up, we learned the mnemonic that it says, Atzas Hashem Lo'olam Ta'amod, we say M'sukei Tzimra, and Atzat is a acronym, Omer, Tzitzis, and Tefillin, three mitzvot that are performed standing. Now, of course, many Sfardim sit while putting on the Tefillin, and that further highlights that this issue is not particularly clear. Lulav and Esrog, we recommend people to stand, although, as we said, Omer has a temple element to it. Perhaps that's something that Lulav shares, because the shaking of the Lulav was 7 days in the temple. So maybe we stand for Lulav and Etrog for that reason and not for other mitzvot. Brit Milah we stand for. Shofar we stand for. But what we're seeing is an expansion of this principle, which we found really just by Sfirat HaOmer, to many other places as well. Of all the mitzvot and trying to figure out the position that we're supposed to have for this mitzvah, the one that is perhaps most perplexing is the scenario of reading the Megillah. Now, all of us conventionally sit while the Megillah is read, and it's rare to find somebody who stands for the entire reading of the Megillah. And in fact, the Mishnah in the third parak of Megillah begins with the words, HaKaras HaMegillah Omed V'Yoshev, that the Megillah can be read sitting or standing. Namely, that one is able to read the Megillah while sitting, and that seems to be clear from the Mishnah. Now, in all of our synagogues, the practice is that we stand for the bracha of the Megillah and then sit down for the Megillah itself, which seems backwards, that the performance of the mitzvah itself is performed seating, but yet the bracha we stand for. It would seem to me to be opposite. I mean, if the Zohar is right that standing for performance of the mitzvah is based on the awe of doing the mitzvah, then I would say that standing for the mitzvah is actually more important than standing for the bracha. The Pnei Yehoshua, in his commentary to Megillah, says, it seems clear that if you're sitting for the Megillah, that you are also going to be seated for the bracha. He doesn't see any reason why you would stand for the bracha and then sit down. He questions why tzitzis and shofar, one stands for the bracha and the mitzvah, but not by Megillah. And the Pnei Yehoshua's solution is to say that really there's no general rule about particular mitzvot. And some mitzvot, like Megillah, can be done seated, like challah or Megillah. And other mitzvot, like tzitzis and shofar, you stand. But that there's no across-the-board principle that applies for each and every mitzvah in Judaism. Now, the tension for us is that there's something attractive in saying either A, that Judaism is not interested in whether you are standing or sitting for mitzvot, and for every mitzvah, you could basically choose to stand and sit. That's a very simple kind of system. And maybe we could carve out exceptions for Omer and Lulav because you're recreating the temple. But for everything else, you know, do what you want. There's an attractivity to that because then everything is sort of clear in one direction. There's also something attractive to say, as the Mishnah Berurah says in the beginning of Siman Chet in Orach Chaim, that all mitzvot are standing. But though the two simple extremes are more palatable, in this case, it really seems like there's no one set answer and that every mitzvah is taken on a case-by-case basis. And by each mitzvah, you sort of have to ask yourself, what is the ideal position for doing this mitzvah? And after you answer that question, the bracha might follow accordingly. So matzah and maror, you're eating a meal, you're going to be seating. So you do the mitzvah sitting because that makes more sense, and you recite the bracha sitting. Megillah, which is a long thing, and there's no requirement to stand for it because you are reading a text, and many of us, when we do our reading, we're sitting down. So you sit for the Megillah, and you could sit for the bracha as well, according to the Pnei Yehoshua. Challah, people often sit while they prepare dough. You can sit while you separate the challah and sit for the bracha. Leishev basukah, if you're sitting down for a meal and you're saying hamotzi on the bread before sitting in the sukkah. So you're going to sit down, you're going to sit at the table, you're going to hold your bread in your hands, you'll be seated, you'll recite hamotzi, and then you'll recite leishev basukah when sitting, and then, of course, do the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah while sitting down. Some mitzvot, the way that you would naturally perform the mitzvah is seated. And those mitzvot, you recite the bracha seated and you do the mitzvah seated. And other mitzvot, like challah maybe, which is part of a davening ritual, also recalls us to the Levim and the Beit HaMikdash. and Omer and Lulav are mitzvot that we recite, we do the mitzvah standing, and we recite the blessing standing. It's still not 100% perfect, because in my system, some of the mitzvot, the ones that remind us of the temple or the ones that are prayer acts, naturally are standing because they in prayer we stand, in the temple we stand. The mitzvot that are related to food or to reading, maybe we sit down because those things we normally do sitting. It still isn't final because when it comes to Brit Milah, we still or Pidgin Aben, we still haven't actually clarified what it should be. If you took the approach that you only stand for temple-based mitzvot or for mitzvot that we have an explicit teaching that you stand, then maybe Brit Milah and Pidgin Aben you should sit. If you say that all mitzvot default into standing mitzvot, and as a result, you stand for all mitzvot with the exception of the rare mitzvah that you sit for, food mitzvah, then for Pidgin Aben, for Brit Milah, you should stand. For tefillin also, as we said, the debate of different customs, Ashkenazim and Sfardim, whether you should be standing for the mitzvah of tefillin, Anot Tfilat Yadayim, washing your hands before bread. If you're on an airplane, and you is there a preference to wash your hands standing before eating your meal? Or no, you can wash your hands while seated and recite the bracha while seated. The sugya ends in an element of confusion because you have some authorities saying, stand for everything, and all of the sitting mitzvot, and we've enumerated a half dozen or more, are all exceptions. Versus other authorities, like the Pnei Yehoshua, which are saying, you know, the Talmud never said you have to stand for performance of all mitzvot, and there might be some mitzvot in the other direction, which are exceptional, standing mitzvot, but the core is that one sits when, or one may sit, when performing a mitzvah and reciting a blessing. So there's two sort of approaches how to handle the issue in general. There's whatever you say, it's clear that there have to be exceptions on both sides, some that you have to stand for and some that you have to sit for. But how those exceptions, which side is the exceptions and which side is the rule, and how you build a position to explain, you know, what you're supposed to do when you do tevilat kelim, putting dipping vessels in a mitzvah, in a mikvah, when you make an omer, make an eruv tafshilin. There's such a long list of mitzvot who the sources have not explicitly addressed, and whether there's a preference to stand for those mitzvot is not eminently clear at this point in time.